line. It was a particularly important shiur. So if you can, listen to it. And again, apologize for running out in the middle of shiur on Monday. So we are up to Sif Lamed Hey. The Gemara in Nidan Daf Yudalit says, Bad kaveda badakla v'tachso b'yirecha ulamachar matza leha dam, or a love, that's an important question. What's the gears over there? So again, she took an eid habaduk, then tachso v'yirecha, and lamachar, so again, either matza aleha dam or a love dam, three possibilities. She found blood on her yerech, on the bedikah cloth, or on both. So amarav, tmeya nida. Tmeya nida means that it's vadai as opposed to tmeya mishum kasem. So what's the halacha in this case if it was agul? Right? We saw, as we discussed yesterday, that under certain circumstances, like hinicha tachas akar v'akases, we are makel when it's agul. So what about in this case? So this is a big machlokas we've shown him. According to Tosfos, Ramban, Rashba, so if it was agul, she would be tahora, at least if it's less than a gris. And this is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Presumably the Sfardim would pask in this way, Taras Abayis points out. What's the reason? Since she didn't have a hargasha, raglayim ladava shelo bamigufa, and the lesson of the Beis Yosef is ulefikach tolan b'mesh afshar litlos, meaning to say, just like we said yesterday, even though we're dealing with a bedika here, and that might incline you to be machmir, but still lemaisa she didn't have hargasha, and therefore, since we have another reasonable possibility where this blood might have come from. After all, she was tachsa b'yirecha, so we'll be tola. And the same svara that we saw the Beis Yosef make yesterday, that why it will be mutter, let's say, if the hinichas tachas akar v'tachas akases, the lack of hargasha indicates that this is not dominant makor, so to over here. However, in this case, the Rambam, the Rosh, Rabbeinu Yerucham, the Magid Mishnah, all are machmir. They say that no, she would be tamei afilu b'kol shehu, and this is the psak of the Raman, the Darkei Moshe, the Bach Paskin this way, and is cited by the Shach and the Taras HaShlamim, and presumably Ashkenazim would be machmir in this shaila. Now, what's the reason for the machmirim? So the Beis Yosef explains, Kevan Shekin Chabo, Yoser Hadas Nota Lomar, Demishamba, Melomar, Shenatla Betichas Yarech. Listen, this idea of Natla Betichas Yarech, though a possibility is a far-fetched possibility. So, since she did a bedikah with an Eid HaBaduk, that seems to be the more likely. The Kevin to Tmei Avadai Mashvinan La, Afilu Betipas Dam Kechardal, Mitaminan La, Bein Shu Agol, Bein Shu Mashach, Kedin Kol Roa Dam Migufa. Meaning to say, since the Gemara told us, since Rav told us she's tamei mishum nida, let's say it's mashuch, even though it's less than a gris. So, when it could have come from a macholas, after all, tachsa b'yirecha, and yet Rav says she's tamei mishum nida, not just tamei mishum kasem, but nida, meaning to say it's vadai. So once you're going to say it's vadai, if it's mashuch, so it makes sense that if it's agul, it'll also be that way. And that's the psak of, that's the way the Beis Yosef explains the machmirim. So the question that we have to think about over here is, what is their debate? Meaning to say, are they arguing about the koch of a bedika? According to the Rush, who's machmir, we treat a bedika more stringently because we say perhaps it's always a safek hargasha, and even though she says lo hirgashti, and according to Tosfos, who's Mekel, or Ramban, who's Mekel, and the like, will say no. Even though Bedikos do have this possibility of her having experienced Hargasha, but Lamaisa, she says she didn't have Hargasha, so, you know, once there's any other possibility, we're going to be Mekel. In other words, their debate is to what degree we see Bedikos as indicating that there's dam, or perhaps they're debating in a more narrow local debate, which is what does tachsa b'yirecha add? In other words, does tachsa b'yirecha, you know, change everything? According to the Rosh, who's machmir, it doesn't really add very much. It's not a very likely possibility in terms of where the blood might have come from. And according to the machmirim, the mekilim, Taisvis Ramban, so it changes it. In other words, what is the machlokas here? So from the Beis Yosef, you get the impression that he understood this in the first, along the lines of the first option, as a much more fundamental dispute. Because the Beis Yosef writes that he thinks that they're going to argue about all cases of, or other cases of bedikos when there's a tliya. He writes, the nirali de'echad ikalamecha shama badam be'ed zeh machmash nisaska samach lamakom she'ed sham b'minei damim tolen ba'nafil yosef mikigris. According to the Mekilin. Va'od demipnei shekincha ba'o lo naniach malitlos ba'mesh efshe litlos kevin shal yergisha b'yetzias adam migufa, etc., etc. And that's what he writes, b'das harashba. So the Beis Yosef does seem to present this as a more fundamental debate in terms of what a bedika tells us, and to what degree does a bedika imply that, or the fact that this is found on an Eid HaBaduk imply that this is dam in HaMakor. So that's the way the Beis Yosef seems to understand it. So if that's true, what's sort of interesting is, assuming that the Rama is Mekel, remember we mentioned in the previous sif that the Rama said that even when it comes to bedika with an Eid HaBaduk, you're tola anywhere that you can be tola. Right? Even though the Rama here seems to be machmir, the Rama in the previous sif said that what seems to say that whatever tlios you could be tola for a kesem, you could also be tola for an Eid Bedika. So it seems that the Rama didn't quite learn it that way. Now again, as we noted yesterday, the Rama's statement is somewhat ambiguous, because remember the Shulchan Aruch also said earlier that the reason why we're tola, we're so makel to be tola on ksamim, even on the sometimes far-fetched possibilities, is because ksamim are drabanan. So, and we had a couple of possibilities how to read the Rama, but the simple reading of the Rama is that whatever, except for perhaps the couple of exceptions we mentioned yesterday, where we have the same, whatever works as a tliya for kesem will work for an eid bedika. And yet, here, the Rama seems to be machmir, which would perhaps indicate that he wasn't learning the debate along the lines of the Beis Yosef in terms of a more general question of tliyos for an eid bedika. Now, this debate over here might also relate to the question, the general question of bedika be'ed she'eno baduk, right? Remember, and we'll talk about this shortly, so we're not going to be machria now, but something to think about. To some degree, the positions line up, right? For example, the Rashba's meiko for bedika in an eid she'eno baduk, when we say meiko, we mean to say even yosir mikigris. And what's the reason why the Rashba's meiko? He writes, because de'isha zu becheskas tahor omedes ve'ed ze eino baduk afal pi shebad ka'atzma bo misafik lo netame. Right? He's treating the bedika as more of a safik. Cheskas tahara ein safik motzi midei vaday. Those rishonim that are machmir net shayla have the opposite type of formulation. For example, the Ravid writes that the reason why bedika by eid she'eno baduk when it's yosef mikigris she's asura is de lo dami eid l'chalok de ilu chalok she'eno baduk la stama tahor aval eid kevan shebadka bo yadayim mochichos ninhu. Right? In other words, the lashon of the Ravid over there is that a bedika with an eid is yadayim mochichos. Again, very much our inclination is to be machmir, and the Rosh had the Rashba's Mekel had the opposite Lashon, and the Rashba's Mekel over here So we'll get to that in just a moment, but that's something to consider, which is to what degree do all these machlokos line up? In some shitos they do, some shitos they don't. Now, that is one explanation of this machlokos rishonim that we saw in the Beis Yosef. However, the Taz in Sifkat and Chav Dalet has a different explanation. He writes that the reason why the Rambam is machmir on this shayla is l'shitaso. What's l'shitaso? Because the Rambam, if you recall, holds that a kesem al gufa is asura even if it's pachos mikigris, al besara, right? So tachsa b'yirecha doesn't really change anything, because let's imagine the following. Let's say, why do you want to be mekel, right? This is an eid abaduk, so going in, this eid was clean. So tachsa b'yirecha. So you'll say, okay, well, maybe this blood didn't come from her makor, it came from her yarech. Okay, but let's say it did. What's the halacha that came from her yarech? It's still asura pachos mikigris. So memela, how could you be mekel pachos mikigris, even if it's agul? So that's the way the Taz explains the position of the machmirim. Now, if so, the Rambam and the Rush would be l'shitasam. The Rush isn't so clear, but if you remember, the Beis Yosef understood earlier that the Rush held like the Rambam. So, it's interesting. This also doesn't work, of course, to explain the Darkei Moshe, because if that was the whole svara for the machmirim, so then why is the Darkei Moshe machmir over here? L'chora, the Taz is disagreeing with the Darkei Moshe, and he would think that l'maisa we should paskin l'hakel. Yeah, you had a question? No?
Meaning, when the Rambam is machmir by ksamim al-besara, even talks in the kigris, meaning we're still assuming that the blood may have come from,
if she's machmir, it's because he's assuming it's damnida, right?
Right.
Whatever it is, the point is that we have to presume that this is or might have been damnida, which is why we have to be machmir. So wiping it up with your bedikah cloth isn't going to change anything.
But the Rambam also explains that we're not choshish in that this is a dam akolos, right? And also we have the Tosos who says dakin an area not on your echa. So it would seem as though that the Rambam is also thinking that Shem Tosos, because he wouldn't need to explain again that when it's on her body, we're not choshish from akolos. And therefore
you're saying when it says tachsu b'reicha, according to Rambam, it's dafka talking not in a makom that could have come from the core. Now, if you're right, so that's not the way the Taz is learning, right? The Taz is learning the Rambam the exact opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, good. Sif Lamed Vav. There's an interesting question here, which we're not going to discuss, but I'll just point it out, which is, is she Tamei Vaday or Safik in this case? So take a look at the Sidre Tara, the Chavos Das, the Shulchan Aruch Harav. They all assume that Tamei here is Min HaTorah. But it's not so pasha. Take a look at Rashi and the like. It's an interesting discussion, but not for now. Okay.
What does it mean to be? I'm not holding here. But what does it mean? Talks to be recha. What does it mean?
She smeared it on her yarech, her thigh.
The medical cloth.
Yeah.
Accident.
I don't know why she did it. Accident on purpose. Either way. She does a bedikah, which first she looks at the bedikah, tachsa b'yirecha, and then she looks at it. So what's the din? Okay. Sif Lamed Vav. So Sif Lamed Vav, we have this sugya of Eid She'eino Baduk. So the halacha we paskin is that Eid She'eino Baduk is mutares, if it's less than a gris, and asura, if it's more than a gris. So before we get into the more fundamental questions in the sugya of why this is true, let's just talk about a practical question, which is, will this halacha apply anymore? So, this brings us back to our whole discussion of gris that we had a couple of weeks ago. And our question at that point was, could we be make a, let's say, an ksamim with a kesem pachos mikigris, since nowadays, of course, we don't have bugs leaving penny-sized blood stains on our clothing or our body. Can we still be makel? So if you recall, the Chassam Sofer said, it depends. When it comes to a kesem So then we'll be Mako nowadays, even though there's no real Tliya any longer, even though this Dam was certainly not from a Macholas. Why? Because what was the whole reason why they instituted Ksamim in the first place? That was Exerim Shem Taros. The time of the Xer isn't relevant anymore. So we don't have to apply it more stringently than it was applied in the days when they were Masakin it. So therefore, since in those days Pachas Mechigris was Mutaris, so too, nowadays it's Mutar. So the Chassam Sofer says, yeah, that's going to be true for Pachos Mechigris when it's a Kesem. But when it's talking about Pachos Mechigris for an Echein Ubaduk, so there we can't be told on a Macholas. And there, since we're dealing with the Bedika, we're dealing with a potential Del Raisa Shaila, the Chshash still exists. So therefore, the Chassam Sofer says, nowadays, if you have a Bedika on an Echein Ubaduk, you could only be Tola until the size of your bedbugs. I don't know how big the bed bugs were in the days of Chassam Sofer. Let's say they were half of the size of a penny. So you could be Tola in a Echein Ubaduk up to a half of a penny, but not a whole penny. Because over here, where there is a Chshash Hargasha, so it doesn't make sense to be Machmir. And that would mean, perhaps nowadays, maybe not from what I hear is going on in the Heights, I don't know. There's at least some good news that comes from the bed bug infestations, that you could start being tola on Echein Ubaduk. But the truth is that those didn't really come up too frequently. But we'll talk about that shortly. But Lemaisa, nowadays, probably, if you follow the Chassam Sofer's ruling, there would be no basis at all to be lenient for an Echein Ubaduk, because we don't really typically see blood stains coming from bugs at all. Now, just to recall, there are two other opinions on this matter, possibilities at the very least. The Avnei Tzedek disagrees with the Chassam Sofer, and he says the shear of a gris, even in an Echein Ubaduk, applies nowadays. Though I think most posts can reject this. They accept the Chassam Sofer, the Chur Shai and others accept the Chassam Sofer. And then, of course, we had the other opinion of the Radvaz, of the Ireim, that we talked about last time, quoted in Pesach Tshuva Sif Contest, that said even when it came to Ksamim nowadays, you could only be Machmir, Mako, up to the size of the common bugs that we have. Okay. So, Lemais, I think we accept the middle view, if you will, of the Chassam Sofer on this topic. So, let's, I guess, talk about Sif Lamed Zayin, and then we'll discuss this idea of Echein Ubaduk. So the Gemara on Nida, Yudalman Alf says like this, Badka b'Echein Ubaduk, la. So she did bedika with a bedika she'ein obaduk, and she puts it into a kufsa, into a safe place. Lemachar matzah lavdam. Rabbi Omer tamei mishum nida. Rabbi Chiya Omer tamei mishum kasev. In other words, they both say practically she's a sura, but they debate the level of certainty we have with respect to her being a sura. Is it mishum nida, meaning vadai, or mishum kasem, meaning suffix. So Rashi writes, "Ulamachar matzah lavdam al ha'ed v'kolasfuke dilma mekamei hachi havei bei lachi lo nakar hachatachso biyarecha demkein havelu treis veke lekula." So very interesting. Why does it say over here, "Henichaso bekofsa"? Why didn't it give the example of tachso biyarecha, like we talked about in the previous gemara, in the previous sif? So the answer is, Rashi says, if it was tachsa b'yirecha, meaning say it was A, Echein Ubaduk, and B, tachsa b'yirecha. So then you'd have trei sveike. Note, he doesn't say sveik sveike, but trei sveike. Perhaps we'll talk about whether that's significant. What are the trei sveike lakula? Chada dilma lav min ha'ed hutach al yirecha. Number one is the source of this blood might be that the bedika cloth was dirty even before she did the bedika. After all, it's a Echein Ubaduk. We'll define Echein Ubaduk shortly. Vafilum tim tzaloma mina erasa dilma kevan de Echein Ubaduk mikamei hachi havei. Even if it was from Sorry, the opposite way. I didn't say that right. The first one is, it's from her leg. And second of all, second possibility is, even if it's from the aid, not from her leg, maybe it was on the aid bedika beforehand. That is what Rashi says. And it's based off of that Chiddush of Rashi that we have the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Lamed Zayin. Again, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Badka Atzma Be'echein U'Badakla V'tachso B'Yerecha V'achar Kach Nimtza Alav Dam Afilu K'gris V'o Tehoira. So what's the halacha? She does a bedika, Echein U'Badak Tachso B'Yerecha, you find dam on it, even if it's gris V'o, she's Tehoira. How do we know it's true even if it's a gris B'od? Right? So l'chora, that's obvious, because less than a gris, anytime you have an H.N. Obaduk is okay. So the chiddush here must be, even if it's more than a gris, that it's okay. So that's what the Beis Yosef says. Now, the problem with this is it doesn't seem to make any sense, because why would you be making more than a gris? Right? The whole kul of H.N. Obaduk is what? Less than a gris, right? Your tolanad kegris. And l'chora tachso b'yerecha, what does that add? So she doesn't have any tliya, she doesn't have any maka. Okay, maybe there's a macholas on her leg or something like that, right? So what does what does that help you? Also up to a gris, but not more than a gris. So you have two reasons to be tola up to a gris. So why should that allow you to be tola more than a gris? So, okay, you have this fake sveka, but both of these sveikos still only get you to less than a gris. Now, it's clear, I mean, from Rashi that he was coming to be makel more than a gris, because again, Rebbe is metaher less than a gris. So, certainly the pshat in Rashi, but the question is, why would it be? Why should this be so? Why should this be so? So, maybe you'll say that any kesem that's bigger than a gris is still some type of suffek. We actually talked about this yesterday in the Levushis Pshat in the Ramban, if you recall. Even more than a gris is a suffek of some sort, but they were misakein to be machmir. In other words, it's not the pshat that more than a gris, we know with certainty that this is a dam nida or the like. But despite that level of suffek, we're still machmir. So once you have another sniff lahakel, because it's an aged shein obaduk, then we could be mekel for a sveik sveika. Let's remember, there is an opinion, seemingly, that every aged shein obaduk is mutter even more than a gris. Right? That's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Now again, Rashi here, and the Shulchan Aruch as well, presumably, are trying to be makel even according to the opinions that say for Echein Obaduk we are machmir more than a gris against Rabbi Yossi. But obviously there's some tzad for even Echein Obaduk to be makel more than a gris. That is the view of Rabbi Yossi. And therefore, yeah, it's true, on its own Echein Obaduk we have to be machmir more than a gris. And on its own Tachso B'Yerecha we have to be machmir more than a gris. But you put the two together, and we sort of have two stadim lahakel, and we could be mekel. In other words, there is some level of sveka. Yeah, these are both svekos that we have to be machmir on, right? Meaning to say, Echein Obaduk Yosef Mikigris is a suffek to some degree that we have to be machmir on. That works better if you don't hold it's Misham Nida, you hold it's Misham Kasem. And moreover, every Tachso B'Yerecha is also a suffix that we're machmir on. So when we have two spekos that we're generally machmir on, and you put them together, so then we're makel. That's the basic idea of a sveik sveka. Again, how it works and the like is not for us to discuss now, but that's the idea of a sveik sveka. You have two spekos that in and of themselves we should be machmir on, individually, but when you can join them, or when you're mesupik about both of them, we're makel. So to over here, we have two spekos that allow us to be made. Well, that l'chora is the pshat. The shach over here. Okay, so let's talk about that in one moment. It's a good question. So the shach over here, sif katan memhe, is vehemently opposed to this psak of the Shulchan Aruch. And Be'etzem, he has three kashas on the mechaber. So kasha number one is that the Sveik Sveik only tells me that she's not Tamei Misham Nida, but maybe she's still Tamei Misham Safik, right? In other words, Rashi's going on the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah said she was Tamei Misham Nida, and Rashi said, well, why didn't it give the case of Tachso B'Yarecha? Because that would be a Sveik Sveika. So all that Sveik Sveika tells me is that she's not Tamei Misham Nida. It doesn't tell me she's actually Mutaras. Rashi didn't say she's Mutaras. So maybe the Sveik Sveika says she's not Tamei Misham Nida, but she's still Tamei Misham Kesem. So that's against the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says she's actually Mutaras. Question number two. Even if you're going to say that Rashi and the Sveik Sveika of Rashi is not just that she's Tamei Misham Kesem, but she's actually Tahora, that would only be on the Tzad that we paskin like the Rashba, the Eichein Obaduk, is Tahor Yosher Mekigris. That's what he writes. So just thinking this over right now, right before Shir, and I didn't understand this, that's why I didn't take your question. Because if we're going with Rabbi Yossi, that's Tahor Yosher Mekigris, and you don't even need this fake Sveika, right? Then it's Tahora more than a Gris no matter what. So I don't know what the Shach is saying in the second question. I have to think about it more. And then his third question is that there's a machlokas rishonim, as we alluded to before, where this blood is found, right? Is it on the aid or is it on her yarech? So he says, if you're going to say it's nimtza al yarecha in a place that it couldn't have come from the makor, like Tosa said, as you pointed out earlier, so then I have a great sveik sveika, right? Maybe it's from the aid. Maybe it's from Makom Acher, right? In which case she would be Tahor if it's Yosef Mekigris. And Imtim Tzalomer, it's from the aid. Maybe it was always on the aid beforehand. That's a valid Sveik Sveika. But if she found the dam on the aid, and that's what the Mechaber holds, right? Because the Mechaber, when he quotes this halacha, writes, the Nimtza Alav dam, Alav meaning on the aid, not on the Recha. Doesn't say Alaha, right? So if we're talking about dam on the aid, so then there's not a Sveik Sveika. Now we'll say, what do you mean? That's a Sveik Sveika. Maybe it's from the Yerech. The Imtim Tzalomer, it's from the aid. Maybe it was on the aid beforehand. So the Shach writes, now that's not a good Sveik Sveika because it's Enam Eshapech. Now it's a little tricky here because he writes, like Shmuel just said, Hakol Echad, but he sends you to Din Yud Gimel and Klali Sveik Sveika. And if you look, that's the Din of Enam Eshapech as understood by the Aguda. Now the question is, why is this taka not mesapech? You could actually say it in a way that is mesapech. So to understand the Shach, you actually have to look back at what he says in Klali Sveik Sveika. And the Shach has an interesting sheet over there, which is that he understands that the klal of Sveik Sveika sheino mesapech, at least the way the Agur understands it, the way he accepts it, is that if there's a possibility to say the suffix in a way that it's only one suffix and not two sveikos, then it's not a valid sveik sveika. And over here we could say it is one suffix. What's the suffix? We could say the suffix is this domina makor or not, right? Which Mol just basically said a minute ago is the shach's taina. And once I say it's from the makor, there's no second suffix. In other words, I could formulate this in a way that's a sveik sveika, but I could also formulate it in a way that's a single suffix. What gives me the right to formulate it in a way that's a sveik sveika when I could formulate it in a way that's a single suffik? Right? So if you learned that, again, the dam is on the yarech, then it's al karchacha sveik sveika, right? Because what would we say? If it's on the yarech, then you can't say, well, maybe it was always there, or maybe it's on the makor. But if you, because it couldn't have come straight from the makor. But the way the Mechaber says it, that the dam is on the Eid Bedikah, then it's Enam Eshapech. Now, we could defend the Mechaber, then, with what the Taras HaShlamim points out over here, Tzif Katan Lamed Zayin. He says, no, this is a Sveik Sveika, because you could say it like this. Is the Eid Naki or not? The Imtim Tzolomar, it was Naki, maybe the dam came from the Yerech. And if you say it that way, it is Mishapech. Now, if you read the Taras HaShlamim over here and the Shach carefully, and then you look back at Klali Sveik Sveika, and you look at the Taras HaShlamim and the Shach there, you'll see that they are each l'shitasam. In other words, this machlokas over here, and ultimately whether this psak of the Shulchan Aruch makes sense or not, really is going to boil down to how you understand the klal of Sveik Sveika She'eno Mishapech. So, lahalacha, how do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Chachmas Adam, all assume against the Shach, that they basically say that an Eichein Obaduk is a din of a kesem, and therefore we commit Starifa Sveik Sveika to say she's Muteras, though the Shulchan Aruch Harav is Machmir if the Dam is on the Eid and not on the Yerach. Okay. Sif Lamed Ches. So Sif Lamed Ches is the discussion of what is an Eichein Obaduk? What qualifies as an Eichein Obaduk? And here we really actually get to the lumdus of the sugya in terms of what's going on here by Eichein Obaduk. So the Rashba writes like this. The Rashba writes, this is the Tarsa Bais that I told you to read carefully. He writes that if you had an aid that you checked once, right? You looked at it, it was clean. So it remains Bechezkas Baduk until something happens that would cause us to say that, well, we can no longer assume it's Baduk. But we don't, you know, the possibility of a far-fetched scenario, Mikra She'eno Yadua, there's no particular reason to be suspicious that something happened to this aid, though it's possible, does not take away the Cheskas Baduk that the aid has. So therefore, the way, you know, if a woman goes ahead and she gets a bedika cloth and she checks it and she puts it in her drawer and then she takes it out and she does a bedika without looking at it, we're not going to treat that as an Eichein Obaduk. Eichein Obaduk, you know, if she took this to the shuk or the like, so then we'll have leniencies. But if she just checks it, puts it in her drawer, takes it out a couple days later, does a bedika without looking, so then that does not have the leniencies of Eichein Obaduk. That's the view of the Rashba. Tosfos and the Ramban, both quoted by the Rashba, you could also look at the Tosfos inside, it's Tosfos on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and the Ramban is in Perek Dalet, Halacha Mem Vav, maybe we'll read it in a moment, disagree. They say that what's an Eid Obaduk? You check it. The Lozaz Mitoch Yada Ad Shebad Kabo. So what's an Eichein Obaduk? Eichein Obaduk is like the Rashba described as an Eichein Obaduk. In other words, she checked it. Hizmina Muchim Levanim Vinakiyim. You know, she put them in her drawer and the like. And then she does her Bedika without checking. Right? So Bekitzer, again, Tosfo says if she checks it a day or two ago, and even though she left it Memako Mutzna, it's considered Eichein Obaduk. And Rashba says, no, Enicha so b'mako mutzna is considered Eid Obaduk. What's Eichein Obaduk? She never checked it at all, right? Enichas kaso baduk, aval gam enichas kaso meluchlach. Rosh in the Ramban is, badka atzma b'Eichein Obaduk la, v'nichaso b'kufso l'machar matza lav dam, yira li, shi tahayra l'gam rei. V'hu, shi yehei, hakasem kegris v'od, fine. But then he writes, maybe we should be machmir anyway. So that's an important point. Ramban himself notes that there are those who disagree with him. Fine. Now, the second question is, how makel are you for Eichein Obaduk? And that we saw is three opinions in the Gemara. Simple reading of Rabbi Yossi is he's metaher and even more than a gris, and then the other two opinions are metame, and there's a debate whether it's mishum kesem or mishum nida. Now going back to the question of what constitutes the Eichein Obaduk, right? So on that question, the Rashba happens to be mako. At least he thinks that's Dikar Adin, that we follow Rabbi Yossi. If it's actually aid, in other words, he has a big chumra in terms of what's considered aid, habaduk or Eichein Obaduk, but once it's actually Eichein Obaduk, then he's very mako, and says that we could be mako yosher mikigris, because the Gemara sounds like we passed in like Rabbi Yossi. Where did the Gemara say we passed in like Rabbi Yossi? It didn't actually say that over here. It said that in later on, the Gemara in Daf Samach Aleph, because there the Gemara over here in Yadalid compares this to the question of finding dam in Mei Raglayim, and the Gemara on Tzamach Aleph says we pass on like Rabbi Yossi to be Mekel and dam in Mei Raglayim, which should mean that we should also pass on Lahakel over here for Eche and Obaduk. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that we're Mekel like Rabbi Yossi. And in fact, you have to figure out how could anybody disagree with that? It's Mefurish Gemara. So we'll get to this later, but there's really two possibilities, right? Either you're going to say that, like the Ravid, even though the Gemara says the two questions are Tali Zebizah, Eche Nobaduk and Damim Eraglayim, we're going to be Mechalik between them. Because the Gemara Yadalit sounds like we don't pass on the Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara Tzamachalik sounds like we do pass on the Rabbi Yossi. So we reject the Gemara that says that the two questions are Tali Zebizah. After all, it doesn't really have to be the case that Damim Eraglayim and Eche Nobaduk are the same Shaila. And the second possibility is Rabbeinu Hananel, which you all saw in Taisvis, and elsewhere, which says that no, that actually, even though it sounds like Rabbi Yossi is metaher entirely, he's actually not. He would agree it's tamei mishum kasem and aser l'chatchila. Okay, so again, that's not to, just to make sure that this is clear, right? So there are really two issues that we have in this siman. One question is what's the din for Eche Nobaduk? And some Rishonim are going to be Mekel on that Shaila, because they say we pass on Rabbi Yossi. When we say Mekel, we're saying it's Mutter even Yossi Mekegris. And some Rishonim are Machmir on that Shaila, and they say, no, we don't pass on Rabbi Yossi, or we do pass on Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yossi actually says she's Tamei Mishum Kasem still. And then the second question is, what is considered an Eche Nobaduk? And then that debate is Rashb on the one side, who's Mahmir. He says that Eche Nobaduk means that she never really checked it, but if she checked it and put it in a Makom Mutzna, it remains Eid Habaduk. Right? We could call that the Eid Beinoni. Right? Go either way. And then we have the Ramban and Taisvis, who say no, Eche Nobaduk means she didn't check it immediately before doing the Bedika. But if she checked it a couple days ago, even if she put it in Makom Mutzna, that would have the din of Eche Nobaduk. So those are the, in the Rishonim at least, the two questions that are going on here. So, yeah.
You said that the lumdus are connected, meaning the more...
The lumdus, what's connected?
The tougher it is to have Eche Nobaduk, the more likely...
There's no question that is true. Intuitively, that's true. Now, you probably won't want to... that can't be the whole story, because it's a machlokas and a gemara.
Right?
In other words... Rashba concedes that two out of the three opinions in the Gemara are machmir for Eche Nobaduk. And Adirabba, there's even a view that says Tamei Mishum Nida, right? So,
yeah.
So you can't. I mean, it's true that the way the Rashba's chumra lines up, this shita isn't such a big chumra. But at the same time, you can't just say what you're saying, because how do you explain Shita's Rebbe?
They would still hold the same share of Eid and Abadah.
Right. Okay. So the Rashba says that if you're right, Ramban and Taisvis, and again, we alluded to this last time, there might be a slight difference between Ramban and Tosfos, but for our purposes, we're going to put them together. If you're right, Ramban and Tosfos, that, you know, pulling a bedika cloth that you checked out of your drawer is Eino Baduk. So now I have a question. So a woman goes ahead and she pulls her dress out of the drawer and she puts it on, right? So that's also going to be Eino Baduk according to you, right? Because if it's a bedika cloth, it's going to be Eino Baduk. So the dress is also going to be Eino Baduk. So why are we ever machmir for ksamim, right? Because typically, right, You know, when I got dressed this morning, so I didn't check my clothing for stains. Now maybe that explains why I sometimes look like a schlump. But I think usually they come after I get dressed. I wait for breakfast till I get the stains on me. Right? So people get dressed, you know, especially nowadays when you get dressed in the morning. Well, maybe last week when you get dressed in the morning, it's dark in the room, right? You don't check, you don't inspect your garment carefully for cleanliness, for ksamim. You just take your clothing out of your dresser and you put them on. So now, that means it's en obaduk. So that means that for ksamim, we're never going to have ksamim because, and even if you checked it when you put it on in the morning, but what happens? This woman, maybe something else happened or the like. So it doesn't make sense, right? His question is, Im kain, tikshilan, kula mechilta, mechilted. Kula mechilted might be an exaggeration because, you know, he really only masters up two or three questions, but okay, still a very gimel nashim shalav shuchalak echad, right? Let's take that case. V'chein nimtzal beis yad shal chaluka, v'chein poshatato miskasebo, right? All those cases. So what's the answer? What would the Ramban Taisus respond? So the Ra'at says, no, in a chanami. The Ra'at, on Yud Tesamud Aleph and the Tarsabayas, says, no, of course, we're talking about where she checked it. Right? In other words, it's not true when you get dressed in the morning, especially if you're a woman, and especially if you're possibly concerned about ksamim. So typically you will check your clothing. When a woman gets dressed, she's going to check her clothing and her body to make sure she won't find dam on it. She's always checking her clothing and body, he says. It's sort of like, Adam asi l'mash mesh pekiso b'chol sha'a. So men check their wallets and the women check their clothing. That's what he writes. Ve'ini maven dvarav. D'chalok ze b'she haya mitchila so baduk airi. V'giya shlashdan. Lazu miyadzu imkain kshenimtza lavdam hare kulan besafek. Okay. Now, practically speaking, we always advise women to check the bedika cloth before they do the bedika, immediately before they do the bedika, so that way we know it has a din of an eid abadukla. Now, what would be the din if lo badka? Woman does a bedika. Right? She's flustered. It's a minute before Shkia. She just quickly takes the bedika cloth out of the little plastic bag and she does the bedika without looking at it. So maybe you'd say that according... And then she sees something. Fachos mikigris. So maybe we should say, according to the Ramban and Taisvah, she's mutaris, and according to the Rashba, she would be asura. Or no. Give me a break. There's no reasonable possibility that this dam came from anywhere else. And even though the truth is that, you know, you could have even argued that according to the Rashba, she would be mutaris, because, you know, the lady in China who put the bedika cloths in the bag, maybe she didn't check them, or whoever, I don't know where the bedika cloths are packaged, right? Eretz Yisrael, Borough Park, I don't know where they come from. But the point is, maybe they weren't checked, so maybe the Rashba should be mako, because they were never checked when they originally put into the bag, And certainly the Ramban would be Mako. Or no? No, come on. First of all, we pass it like the Rashba. And second of all, there's no reasonable possibility whatsoever over here. When the Ramban talked about putting it b'mako mutzna, being matir, right? Like I said, it's like she put it in her bureau, in her drawer, right? And, you know, we know what was going on in those days. So it's true. It's not like tachas akar v'tachas akeses, but it's still makom hamutzna. But lemaisa, there was some type of, you know, reasonable, if even far-fetched possibility that this is dam macholas. But in our situation, there isn't even a far-fetched possibility that that's true. How do we paskin? So I think we're machmir on that shayla, obviously. The Tarsabai says in general we paskin like the Shulchan Aruch, who paskins like the Rashba l'chumra. Though he writes, interestingly enough, that if there's a tziruf nosaf lahakel, then you could throw in the opinion of Taisus and Ramban. So it is a shita that one should keep in mind in paskining complex shaylas. But otherwise, generally speaking, we paskin like the Rashba l'chumra. Again, even a Rashba agrees if lakham and ashuk, it's eino baduk, and the like. Okay. Sif lamites. So Sif lamites is very confusing, because seemingly there's a stira between Sif Lamed Tes and Sif Lamed Vav. Why? What does it say in Lamed Tes? Ein ha'isha tameya misham kasem shematza b'chaluka ala imkein hayabaduk lakodem shalavashto avalam eino baduk kodem shalavashto v'lavashto b'lo b'dika umatza bo kasem tahira. So, what does he say? If it's not bada kodim shalavashto, she's going to be mutter. That's what it says in Lamed Tes. But what does it say in Lamed Vav? There he writes that if badka atzma be'echeinu badakla, she's temeya if it's gris va'od. So how do we resolve these two things? Again, let's read the two together. In Lamed Vav, it said, Bad ka'atma be'eche eno badakla, afil ani chaso shamar b'tei vasa, umatzal avdam, temeya im yesh bok gris vod. So here, eno badakla, what's the din? Temeya if it's gris vod. And here, what does it say? Eno badukla tahira, even if it's more than a gris. It's not a badika. So how do we know the din in Sif Lamed Tes? It's from this din, right? There's no separate halacha. The halacha is that just like we're meiko for age eno baduk, so too we're meiko for kesem from a chaluk she'eno baduk. So that's the question. So the Taz goes back and forth about this Shaila, but in the end his conclusion is that really there's no room to be machalik between a bedika and a kasem. They have the same hagdaros. And the Shulchan Aruch is only meiko b'makom shadam emetzuyim sham. In other words, even though we use almost the same lashon as eino baduk in Lamed Vav and in Lamed Tes, they mean two different things. In Lamed Tes, when he's meiko for eino baduk, what does that mean? Eino baduk? It means really eino baduk. You took it from the ashpa, something like that, where we would be meiko. And what about the chiluk that you said before? No. Ma'atam yesh l'chalek bin kincha v'lo irgish adam l'machta kasem v'lo kincha. This might actually reflect the Tazashita that we quoted yesterday, right? That who minimizes the Safek Hargasha by a Bidikas A. But one way or the other, that is the way the Taz reads our Sif. However, other Achronim, among them Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Kresu Plesi, the Shulchan Aruch Rav, all disagree with the Taz. And they write that by a Kesem we're Mekel for this middle case. This middle case is sometimes called the Beinoni case, either the Eid Beinoni or the, in this case, the Beged Beinoni. And the Achronim say it in different ways, but one way they put it is that we could be Somech on Shitas Tosfos for a Kesem, right? Tosfos and Ramban. Remember, we just discussed in Sif Lamed Vav, the Machlokas between Tosfos and Ramban. What's the din for the case of Beinoni? Tosfos and Ramban says Beinoni has a din of Eino Baduk, right? So we'll be willing to be more makel when it comes to a kasem. Why don't they learn like the Taz? So if you look, the Achronim have a number of kashas on the Taz. First of all, it doesn't make any sense to say that Eino Baduk and Sif Lamed Vav has a different meaning than Eino Baduk and Sif Lamed Tes, which is what the Taz is saying, right? Presumably it has the same meaning. And moreover, what's the whole source of Sif Lamed Tes? It's from the Rashba. And the Rashba, obviously, it's Pashat that the Rashba would be Mako, more than a gris, right? The Rashba is Mako more than a gris, even by Eichen Obaduk. So therefore, we're more Mako by Ksamim. And even though the Rashba, you know, most of the Rishonim don't make this Chiluk, in other words, this is a sort of a pshara that the Shulchan Aruch made to follow the more lenient view of Eino Baduk with respect to ksamim, and the more stringent view of eno baduk with respect to an eid bedika. But there are actually some rishonim who do make this chiluk. The Ravid makes the chiluk, the Sidrei Torah points out. Now, it's not so clear to say that's the pshat in the Shulchan Aruch, because the Beis Yosef didn't quote this Ravid. But Lamaisa, the Sidrei Torah points out that at the very least, the Beis Yosef was mechavein to the Ravid in the pshara that he made up. L'chora, the Shach, also disagrees with the Taz, and holds that even for Beinoni, we're Mekel Yoser Mekigris, like the way the Bach understood the Shulchan Aruch. And the Shach writes, L'chora, what's the reason to be Mechalik? Like we said, Shaksamim Medivrayim V'holchem Bo L'Hakel. Good. So, Halach L'maisa, how does this play out with respect to Ksamim? Right, how does this play out? So, the Kresu Plesi writes the following. He says, guess what, guys? Based off of this Sif, Lamites, we have a huge Tzad Gadol L'Hakel for Ksamim. Why? After discussing the topic extensively, he writes, V'yeh she'yel kolpanim hani mili bevdika. Like we said, where we're more machmir in terms of what's considered baduk and what's considered eino baduk. Aval b'kasem, v'adai ditzarach ha'chalak lios lo bedika tchila. For something to be considered a chalak ha'baduk, right, like we said, like the Shulchan Aruch says, against the Taz, the only time it's going to be considered baduk is if it's what? Baduk mitchila. Da rova poskin sphere like Rabbi Yossi. First of all, even by an aid, rova poskin hold like Rabbi Yossi. That bigger than a gris is mutter. Vafilu be'eid she'enu baduk tar legamrei. Rach, harash v'siyato choshishim l'hachmir k'shitas rach. So we happen to be machmir in that shayla with more than a gris because we're choshish v'shitas Rabbeinu Chananel. But only be'bedika. Avel be'kesem, du gufei d'rabanan, mechatesi l'hachmir neged rova poskin, disavar like Rabbi Yossi l'tar legamrei, even more than a gris. Great. Lefiza, hadakasim machaber sifla mitest enisha mitama mishum kasim b'chaluka elim ken haya badukla haynu bedika mamish dehaya lo bedika pamacha. So the only time you're ever going to become a surah on a kasim is if you did an actual bedika, even pamachas, but you did a bedika, right? Avalim no talto mimakom mutzna tar b'kasim. If you didn't check it. Ah, so if so, skipping a little bit, he yells at the Taz, and he writes, "Me'ata matzinu l'achayosenu b'nos Yisrael takana gadayla b'iskei kismehem shirov nashem enem bodkos chalok v'sadin terem levusha rak lovshim k'sheba mechubas v'im kein kol kismehem af b'kegris tahor deleka kan chiluk chaluk abadukla." Right? What happens in the mitzias? A woman goes ahead. She wears her underwear. Right? Anyway, you know, we only have ksamim usually during Yimei Libun, during Shiva Nikim, when they're wearing levadim anyway. Okay. So after she wears her underwear one day, she throws it in the laundry. Whether she looks at it or not doesn't really matter. But she throws it in the laundry. It gets washed. It gets dried. Gets folded, put into her drawer, and she puts it on again without looking. At least lots of times, that's exactly what happens. So, gewaldig. Then she finds a kesem. So we'll say it's mutter. It's bigger than a gris. Yeah. Shulchan Aruch says, if it's eino badukla, right, she didn't check it, so then she's muteris, even bigger than a gris. Wow, what a gewaldig kula. So the Shevet HaLevi says, no, not so fast. Well, the Rav was just saying that the Metzias isn't this way. But let's say that is the Metzias, right? So what's the Halacha? Shevet HaLevi says, nah. Give me a break. Halev Yodea Shebizman Azem Min Astam Bediros Hanochos Vanikios Ein Kimat Makom Litlos Alkein me'od libi nokef lahakel bioser mikigris. And then in his conclusion, he writes, Uman de mekel bekazeh bekalos ro'i l'nezifa. Uh-oh. So he's making a good point, which is, give me a break.
This it's not arguing Prisi though, per se.
Yeah, indeed. He's just saying, I don't know what the Metzius of the Krasi was or not, but he's saying one way or the other, either the Krasi's wrong or you can't apply the Krasi today. One way or the other, we can't really rely on this. And one of the things he writes is because when you do washing machines, it gets rid of all stains, and therefore it's Bechezkas Naki. And I saw the Tarsa Bias makes a similar point. Now, I don't know, that wasn't so obvious to me, especially blood stains often don't come out in the laundry. But on the other hand, it's also true that that the women check. They check when they're folding the laundry and when they put it in, and probably anyway when they put it on. And it's unlikely that there would be this big red spot, bigger than a gris, that they wouldn't notice at that point. But I saw that the Mishmeres HaTara points out that, you know, even here, it's not, depends on the situation, right? Like, I can't tell you how many times my wife filled up a basket of clean laundry from the dryer, and some kid decided to disperse it throughout the whole house on the floor, and who knows what's on the floor, and their markers on the floor, and their kids playing, and, you know. So it's, I'm sorry?
Kids bleeding.
Bleeding, playing, you know. And we don't even have, you know, boys that are playing tackle football yet. So it's not, you know, depends on your living conditions, but it's not unreasonable that you could have a situation where there might be a kula based off of this. Though, in the end of the day, you know, I do think that Levi Omerli, that typically, like the Shevet HaLevi said, you're not going to have so much of a situation. There's a discussion here in the Shach, Sifkat Memvav, if you knew who you took it from, the Baged, you don't have to ask, right? Just like we saw in the Shulchan Aruch earlier, Ein Sarch Lahakif. That's what the Shach writes in Sifkat Memvav. The Sidrei Tara points out that's based off of a Tosfos and the Rashba and the Beis Yosef, and you do have to ask. And Lachar, the reason why the Sidrei Tara would say it's different is because there's no Tliya over here. It's interesting, and therefore you would have to ask. All right. Anyway, that's a it's an interesting discussion, but not for now. Let's keep moving. Sif Mem. So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Sif Mem. Abadka chaluka pashatita umatza tahora v'shila lachaverta v'lavsha umatza bokazem harishona tahora v'shini etmer. Not so much of a chiddush, right? Lady one checks her garment clean, puts it on, takes it off, checks it again, and then gives it to her friend, and the friend finds a kesem, so the second lady is Tmeya, the first one is Torah. So the Taz is bothered by the question, why do we need two bedikos by the first lady? Why does it have to say, lady one checked it, put it on, checked it again? Let's say she didn't check it before she put it on, but since she checked it after she took it off, and it was clean, and gave it to lady two, then the second woman should be Asura, because we know that when she got it, it was clean, because woman one checked it before she gave it to woman two. So the Taz answers that if she didn't check it initially, then the checking she did afterwards doesn't actually count. Why? Because let's say she didn't check it originally. So is there any halachic significance to the checking that she did afterwards? No. Because even if she found a kesem, what would the din be? Tahora, Yosef Mikigris, it's a chalak she'eno badak, she would be mutaris. So memela, there's no halachic significance to that checking. So we assume that she didn't pay attention. It's milsadol aramia. Now this happens to be the Taz l'shitaso. We're going to see the Taz in Sif Nun Aleph holds of this in another case. And the Taz and the Shach argue about this in several places in Shulchan Aruch, twice in Siman Kuf Tzadi, and once we saw last year, when we did Hilchos Tarovos. So maybe we'll talk about that when we get to Sif Nun Aleph. But anyway, That's what, since this is a halachically mandated checking, it's halachically irrelevant. So then we say, milsa delom ramya, lava daite. And it wouldn't change it. So that would be then, let's say she didn't check it before she wore it. So then, and she did check it afterwards, and it was clean. And then she gave it to Lady Two, and Lady Two found a kasem. What would the halacha be according to the Taz? Lady Two would be mutaras, right? It would be equivalent to sifla mites, which is a remarkable kula. Now it's a little interesting because if you look in sif katan chavtes, the Taz was only mekel if lakachdom and ashuk. So the Pardes Shimonim says that Taz is talking about, is going on a tour that's also talking about Lakachtom and Ashuk. That's the only time where if woman one didn't check it at all, she would be Tahora. Right? But whatever it is, whatever case you're going to say you're Mekel on, in terms of Mekel for Chalak Sheino Baduk, again, the Taz happened to be very Machmir on that child, he's only Mekel if it's Lakachtom and Ashuk. But if you hold that the Taz is right, so whenever you would say that if woman A finds a kesem, she would be mutares. So even if she checked it afterwards, and it was clean, and then woman B wore it, woman B would be mutares as well, which is a fascinating chiddush, and again, a perspective in the Taz that we'll see elsewhere in the siman. Yes?
Does that have to do something when she did the bdika after she took it off, it wasn't aldas to give it to someone else, because it was aldas?
So that is a very good question. In other words, this is halachically relevant for woman too. Right? So then we're not going to say milsa de lo ramia. It doesn't sound that way from the Taz, but l'chore it makes a lot of sense. So we're going to return to that in Sifnan Aleph, because that's a critique that comes up over there as well. It's an excellent question.
She checked it before she gave it to the second woman?
Yeah.
So what does Rebbe mean, milsa de lo ramia? She tells us she checked it.
Yeah, but what's the halacha if she found a kesem when she checked it?
After she wore it?
Yeah.
If it was
chalukah shein abaduk, she'd be mutaris, right? So good. So was this a halachically mandated checking? No. Halachically, her checking was irrelevant. So things that are checked when there's a halachic need to check, or there's halachic significance to the checking, so then we assume that the person is going to pay attention, and when she says was checked, we treat it as checked. But when it's not a halachically mandated checking, why did she check? I don't know. She was deciding whether to put it in the washing machine or it could be worn another time, right? That's why she was checking. She didn't know. If it was dirty, she was going to put it in the wash, and if it was clean, she was going to wear the dress a second time. And she saw it was clean, so she put it back in her dresser, and then Lady Two says, oh, could I borrow your dress? And she says, sure, take it from my dresser. So since the checking that she did wasn't a checking that had any halachic significance whatsoever, right? She was just checking to see if she was going to put it in the laundry or put it back in her drawer. So that's when we say milsa delo ramya.
Wasn't we assuming that there was damage that she didn't pick up on?
We can't be certain that it was clean, because since that was not a check that was done for halachic purposes, because the check wouldn't have affected the halacha, so we're not confident that it was checked carefully, sufficiently, so as to affect the status of the baghead such that now the second lady will also be mutaris. Right? In other words, what's the idea of milsad al ramya? Let's remember the source, right? For those of you learning Masech HaShavuos. So, what did the Gemara say? The Gemara says, let's say I went ahead and I told somebody you borrowed money or you paid money b'tzad ha'amud. And then somebody says, oh, he was never Mitzad HaAmud. So then it turns out that was true. So we still say he's not Hochsa Kafran. Why? Milsa Delo Ramya Lava Daite. In other words, since there's no halachic significance to standing next to a Amud, so the statement, I was never next to this Amud, or he was never next to that Amud, is not a statement that we take particularly seriously. Why? Because who cares? So you likely made a mistake. So too over here. There's no halachic significance to this check. So So maybe it wasn't careful. Maybe she didn't pay such close attention. That's the idea. Okay. Okay. So, so we didn't do as planned, finishing the sermon today. But Monday, by hook or by crook, we're going to have to finish. Be'ezras Hashem. So, as I said, for your own personal learning and planning, in Shir, we're going to do Siman Kuf Tzadi Aleph pretty quickly, probably in just one Shir. But there's a lot you need to do to understand Shir, meaning to say you have to do the whole first Gemara at in that parak, and you have to do the Tshuva Saran. Be nice if you saw the Tshuva Mikivager, though. You don't have to see that, and all the Shulchan Aruch and the Nosei Kalim and all the Beis Yosef. So you should definitely, I think, be starting Kuf Tzadi Aleph by the beginning of next week, and we'll have Shir on Kuf Tzadi on Monday, on Wednesday Kuf Tzadi Aleph, and we might likely do all of Kuf Tzadi Aleph on Wednesday, which means that already by next week we'll be starting Kuf Tzadi Hei. Kuf Tzadi Hei is our chakos. So we're going to go straight from Kuf Tzadi Hei for a while. Kuf Tzadi Hei, Kuf Tzadi Vav, Kuf Tzadi Zayin, etc. No more jumping for a while. Anyway, so Kuf Tzadi Hei is also very big, and we won't spend that much time in Shir on it. We'll spend a couple of Shirim on it for sure. It's one of the most practical simanim. It's one of the simanim that there's not much in terms of Shas, but a lot in terms of poskim. That's, I guess, part of the fun of that type of sugya. So it would be in your best interest to be ahead of me and not behind me. So that's the basic plan for the next week or two. Okay. Have a good day.